Come and listen in to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thanks for turning your radios on this morning. It's our hope that we will all get in touch with God as we're together today. I'm Ken Carlson, pastor at the Barnum Community Church, and I am really happy to be spending the next half hour with you thinking about things that really matter. I'd also like to invite you to join us at 9:30 this morning, right here in the heart of downtown Barnum, as we meet for live and in-person worship. But you know, if that doesn't work out for you today, you can go to our church Facebook page, and you can join us there where we live stream our service. You can also go to our website, and if you go there, you will find previous broadcasts of this program on WMOZ, as well as our Wednesday morning Holy Fika, as well as our Sunday morning services, and lots of other announcements and things that are happening, and special services and special events. And we would love for you to get to know more about us, but we'd really like to get to know you person to person. So pop in sometime. It's something that catches your fancy, something that fits into your schedule, and we'll give you a handshake, a hug, a cup of coffee, and say, welcome. Well, this morning, I'm really looking forward to our time together because we're going to think about a word that I think is very, very helpful. But to set the stage for this morning, we're going to go back to an old singer that sang country, and he sang a song that many of us have probably found ourselves repeating the words of this song as we think about our relationship with God. Charlie Pride sang the song, "Jesus, It's Me Again." And I think there's many times in our lives that we've begun the conversation of prayer with those words, "Well, Jesus, it's me again." Let's listen to Charlie Pride sing that song.
Lately, Lord, I almost feel like dying. I wake up like a child alone at night. And sometimes, Lord, I just can't keep from crying. And I can't find the strength carry on. Jesus, it's me again. Down on my knees again, asking you please again, reach out your hand. Jesus, it's me again. I'm on my knees again, asking you please again, reach out your hand. Jesus, it's me again. I'm down on my knees. And I'm asking to reach out your hand. From time to time, I tried to find a reason to talk to you. A time or two before, but this time, Lord, it's more than I can handle. And I know I just can't take it anymore. Jesus, it's me again. Down on my knees again, asking you please again, reach out your hand. Jesus, it's me again, and I'm on my knees again, asking you please again, reach out your hand. Yes, asking you please again, reach out your hand.
And so, Father, we thank you that you don't get tired of seeing us. You don't get tired of hearing our voice. You don't get tired of our concerns. And Lord, when we come and say, it's me again, you always greet us with, it's good to see you. And so this morning, I'm grateful that as we all come, we come as a group this morning, individually with needs and concerns and heartaches, but we come together. And you say, oh, it's you again. Good to see you. And we say, yeah, it's us again. And so, Father, we come to you because you welcome us. You invite us. You want us, Father, to be in this conversation with you, a kind of holy dialogue. And so we talk to you, not to the air, not to an inanimate object, but to you, the God of the universe, who loves us with such an incredible love. And this morning we bring those things that concern us in our lives. We bring health conditions that maybe we're experiencing or those that are close to us are experiencing. And Father, we would ask for healing in our lives. We would pray, Father, that you would use the medical professions, but that also you would move in a supernatural and your way to bring healing. And in the midst of the brokenness of the body, that we would have a peace that passes all understanding. We pray for broken relationships today, that, Lord, that you would bring reconciliation where there's that brokenness, that you would bring us back together where there's division, that, Father, you would be the one that would mend the broken hearts, that would heal, Father, memories, and that once again we would walk in unity and in friendship and in love with those that there's been this brokenness with. And then, Father, this morning we pray for our schools, our school boards, our school administrators, our teachers, as they wrap up a year. And we pray for our students, Father, that in these closing days of this school year, that there would be joy in the camp and peace, and that, Father, would be safety in our schools. Give wisdom to those that direct and make plans, and for those that administrate. We lift them up to you. And then this morning, Father, we certainly would pray for our governor, Governor Waltz, and we pray for our president, President Biden. And we would ask, Lord, that you would give to them wisdom in difficult days and tough circumstances. We pray, Father, for Governor Waltz as he governs this state, and we pray for President Biden as he governs our nation. Give to him wisdom beyond his understanding, wisdom beyond his knowledge. Father, surround him with people that give to him advice that's sound and true. Give to him discernment to know good from evil, right from wrong. That, Father, he would be able to have insights beyond the understanding of even those around him. And then give him the courage to do that which is right, Lord. Raise him up, Father, to be your person that you use in these days. And then today we pray for the Ukraine, and we pray, Father, for brokenness that's in that nation, for those that are older, that whose lives have been destroyed, whose families have left and are finding security in other countries, and Father, that they were not able to leave, and now as they look at the destruction of their towns, their livelihoods, their homes, Father, we pray for the older people. We pray for those that are fighting. We pray for those, Father, who find themselves in a strange country and wondering where food will come from, where shelter will come from. Father, provide for them. And we pray for peace in the Ukraine. We pray, Father, that the peace that comes will be a peace that reflects truthfulness and freedom. Father, we lift up that nation to you in the battle that they find themselves in. And in other parts of the world, we pray for Afghanistan today. And in the shadow of the Ukraine, it's so easy to forget about those in Afghanistan that are dying for the faith, that are being persecuted today, that for what is happening there. Father, we lift up the Afghanis to you as well. And then, Lord, as we come to this time of prayer, we thank you that there's a prayer that you taught us to pray. We thank you, Father, for the music that this prayer has been put to. And now as we listen, we pray in our hearts the words that are sung to us and to you.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give to us our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Temptation, but deliver us from
singing of the Lord's Prayer there was by Carmen, and I hope that you found it refreshing as you listened to the Lord's Prayer in a different way this morning. Well, I have another song that's going to be the introduction to the Word today, and this song is He Will Carry You, and it helps to lay the foundation for what I want to visit with you about today. Listen to this song.
No one understood the depth of Jacob's love for Joseph, or the agony he felt when he was told his son was dead. I think his sorrow even made my brothers feel ashamed. And though I'd lost my closest brother, I knew God would carry him through the times that were ahead.
There is no problem too big, God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, He cannot move it. There is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, He cannot soothe it. If He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, my brother, that He will carry you. If He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, dear Joseph, that He will carry you.
He said, come unto me.
Today is circumstance. Circumstance. Our lives are rapidly changing, and our plans and schedules and some of our most basic routines all feel like they're changing on us by the hour, don't they? This is certainly a difficult, strange, and unprecedented time to be alive. So many people who are a lot older than I am have frequently said to me in past months, we've never seen anything like this in our lifetime. Where we can't be in physical contact with anyone during a crisis that's not affecting everyone. It's hard. Or the economics, or the world scene. It's disappointing. This is a life-altering and even life-threatening situation for many people. So what can we do? What do we do? What do we do when we feel crushed, when we feel hopeless and confused and beat down by fluctuating circumstances in life that are totally outside of our control? Well, I want to look at a passage that has always challenged me and also never failed to comfort me and point me in the right direction, to point me to Jesus and the strength that he provides. And I don't mean that lightly this morning at all. My hope is that the way God has used this passage will help me and strengthen me, and that he would do the same for you. The passage is found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. That's Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And even while I'm speaking, you maybe want to look that up on your phone. You can Google it and you'll see it. It says, in any and every circumstance, in any and every circumstance. This is a remarkable, audacious, and comprehensive language that Paul uses in verse 12 of this text. In any and every circumstance. He's addressing our lives and everything about our lives. The word is circumstance. What kind of circumstance do you find yourself in today? What kind of changing circumstances have you found yourself in the last months, in the last years? You see, right away we need to see that the Christian faith recognizes the changing circumstances of life. True Christianity never presents a theology or a way of religious thinking and a life to be lived where you are always up but never down. You always are abounding but never brought low. No, that's not it at all. Our faith recognizes the ups and downs of life, that they're a normal part of life in a fallen world. Another thing that we see that Paul is speaking of in this text in Philippians is that he's not claiming to have some magic cure-all pill or prayer or formula that's going to fix all our lives. No, what does he say? That he's got something, he's learned something that is enabling him to face all the problems. God doesn't promise to fix all of our problems in the immediate here and now, but he does promise to give us something that will enable us to face our problems and the changing seasons of life with deep contentment. Now, if you're hearing this and you're not a Christ follower yet, you may find yourself tempted to think, yeah, right, see, this is the kind of pie in the sky, bury your head in the sand outlook on life that I can't stand to be around. Maybe that's how you feel about some Christians. It's obvious that Paul is not living in the real world that we are, you may be thinking. Well, if that's your opinion, you need to know that Paul wasn't writing this letter from some lazy boy, comfy, cozy recliner with all of his buddies and pals around him. He was writing this letter from prison. The man is in chains as he writes it. Here's a man literally quarantined from the outside world. He's experiencing the worst kind of social distancing that's being forced upon him. The man is in prison, and what's he doing? He's rejoicing. He's giving thanks. But he's doing even more than that. He's setting out to help you and me. He's writing this to help us. He's letting us in on a secret. Everyone loves to be in on a secret. I've never met anyone who, when you ask them, do you want to know a secret, says, nah, I really don't want to know. No, almost everyone wants to know a secret. And here Paul tells us that he's learned the secret of contentment, but he's not keeping it to himself. He's going to pass it along. He's learned the secret of how to face any and every circumstance with contentment in his heart. I'm guessing you would like this. I know I do. This is exactly what faith in Christ, Christianity, claims to offer. What is a Christian contentment, and how do we get it? These are two main aspects of contentment that I believe that Paul is teaching us here. In the changing, uncertain, difficult seasons of life, what is the contentment that Paul says is possible to experience, and how do we experience it? Well, let's begin by defining some terms. Now, you may think, why do we need to spend time defining this? Isn't it obvious? Contentment is being satisfied with your life. It's being satisfied in life. But if that's all you think about when you think of contentment, you may be tempted to view contentment in a very passive way. Here's what I mean. If contentment is just a passive attitude of satisfaction, How do you explain what Paul says earlier in chapter 3 when he says, quote, "Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on. I strain forward." This idea is like a dog on a leash straining to get the bone. He says, "I am straining. I press on." So which is it? Should we be straining forward and pressing on, or should we be content? You see, if we think of contentment only, or even mainly, in a passive sense, these two passages don't fit together. They seem at odds with one another. And if you're not careful, that truncated view of contentment can easily lead to thinking of it almost as sort of a complacency. But what do we find in verse 13? Paul doesn't say, "I've learned the secret, so I can sit back and do nothing through him who gives me strength. I can sit on the couch and just chill through Christ who strengthens me." No, he says, "I can do all things. I can do." You see, right there we can tell that there's an activeness and a doing to Christian contentment. So we might say this, Christian contentment is an active satisfaction in life. And what do I mean? Well, let's take the word that's used in the passage, for example. The Greek word that Paul is using that is translated as content in the end of verse 11 is the word autarkis. It literally means to be sufficient. It means to be or to have enough. It's the realization that you're already furnished and adequately equipped for the situation that you find yourself currently in. It's recognizing that who I am, what I have, and where God has placed me right now is sufficient to fulfill the roles and responsibilities that God has given me. If you think of coming to our church while, you know that I never talk about Christian contentment without talking about some of the heroes I've had in my life. One of those heroes that was on television that I thought was really great was Angus MacGyver. You remember the show? He was a special agent who in every episode always found himself in these terrible predicaments where it looked like he didn't have what he needed to get out of where he was or what he needed. But in any and every circumstance, in every episode, every single time, MacGyver would use the everyday supplies that were around him to make things work. He would make a bomb or a battery with toothpaste and toothpicks. It didn't matter what the situation he was in. MacGyver showed that what he had was sufficient for the situation that he was in. All he needed to do is be creative and maximizing it. The creativity of MacGyver is a picture of biblical contentment. That is why Paul calls it a secret. When you're watching MacGyver, it's never obvious that he has what he needs, but eventually you come to see that he does. That's contentment. It's maximizing the moment. It's focusing on what you have, not on what you don't have. It's making the most of who you are and what you have for the glory of God, the good of others, and joy in the Lord. We might define it this way. Christian contentment is appreciating what you have and maximizing what you have. It's the grateful and fruitful use of what you have and where God has placed us. G.K. Chesterton said it this way, "Contentment is the skill of getting out of every situation all the good that there is in it. It's maximizing the moment." And that is what Paul is saying. He's saying, "I've learned that in any and every circumstance, Christ can strengthen me to make the most of it." So, we need to see that contentment is not laziness, where you sit back and do nothing. It's also not indifference, where you can't grieve and cry over disappointing circumstances. It's not fatalism, just throwing your hands up and saying, "Oh well, whatever will be, will be." It doesn't mean that I am not trying to change myself or change circumstances. No, Christian contentment is active satisfaction. It's recognizing that in any and every circumstance, I have what I need to biblically succeed. My challenge is by the strength of Christ to make the most of it. This is our challenge right now in the midst of all that's going on around us. Are we looking around and asking, "Lord, what are you teaching me? How can I make the most of this time? How can I get all the good out of this? How can I redeem the time? How can I creatively love my family and my neighbor in all of this?" So this is what Christian commitment really is, friends. It is active satisfaction in the situation. It is grateful and fruitful use of the means and moments that God places us in. All right, but how do we get it? How do we experience it? Well, my understanding is that we need to both learn it and receive it. There's many ways that we can learn contentment. We can learn it the easy way. There are some lessons in life that we learn by reading about other people's experience. Or we can learn it the hard way. But the truth is, as Paul confirms it here, is that we don't learn lessons well from the lives of others. We need to learn them sometimes the hard ways by going through difficult circumstances ourselves. It's like Paul looking back on his life in this passage and saying, I have learned that in all of these moments, when I didn't think I had enough, I actually had enough. And then this contentment must be received. Well, this morning, the word is circumstance. And the goal is to be content in whatever circumstance you find. I want to invite you to understand that through it all, God is capable to bring contentment to you in whatever circumstance you find yourself in today. Listen to this song.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation. My trials come to only make me strong. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word.
If I'd never had a problem, how would I know that God could solve them? How would I know what faith in His Word could do? Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. So I'm singing. Trust in God.
So when it comes to your circumstance, friends, there's a question. What will you do with the time that God has given you? Will you sulk and moan and complain? Or will you go to all the strengthening Christ and say, Jesus, help, help me. And then when He does, to simply say, to God be the glory. Well, I would enjoy hearing from you. Please feel free to contact me at P.O. Box 70, Barnum, Minnesota 55707. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May you find joy in the blessing and peace in His presence as you stay in touch with God. I'm Ken Carlson from the Barnum Community Church, wishing you meaningful moments, hope-filled hours, and dynamic days this week and always. Blessings on you.
Turn your radio.